better model to go forward with future developments. You'll see members of the Bryan Surf Life Saving Club around. If you look out there over the window, you'll actually see some of them in the sea. So they're quite hardy types getting in today, which is quite lucky because the ball's got a broken pump at the moment, so maybe there's more people getting in the sea. But they're fundraising at the moment for their operations, what they do, and all their activities. So if you see anybody, they're selling raffle tickets, there's some great prizes. So please see any of the members of the Bryan Surf Life Saving Club to get your raffle tickets. That would be great. Now, there's two people who are talking today. We know the first is Alessia. I want to introduce you to the other one who's going to interview Alessia. He's Marco Montemagno. He's a digital publisher, author in Italy. He's a Brighton resident. As a British audience, who we could relate to. Now, I don't know if any of you know Matthew Saeed, the publisher, columnist, and Martha Lane Fox. And I think that's probably about as close as a representation of what Marco's skills and background are like. And actually, like Matthew Saeed, for those who know, he's also a professional international table tennis player in his former years. He represented Italy, as Matthew Saeed represented Great Britain. So he's a man of many skill sets. I've actually then found out a bit more about him. I actually went online, which I know is never a safe thing to do, just to get you in an idea of what you're dealing with here. And I caught up with some reviews about Marco, or Monty, as he's very popularly known. And he's got, Monty is the most dynamic and unconventional presenter I have ever seen. There is no excuse to be bored on stage with Monty. You can learn a ton watching and listening to Marco. And another one says, don't worry, this is the last one. I must say that he's like a really good bottle of wine. He gets better and better with age. So, Marco, Monty, no pressure there. And now Alessia. She's here, honestly. In 2019, Alessia became the first woman to free dive down over 100 metres with just the use of her arms, free immersion, that's known as. She's a holder of 38 world records and 17 world titles. I think from today's talk, you'll hear about her inspirational qualities, her energy, her life. But I think most importantly out of all of that is, and I've met her over the last couple of days, is just that she's an extremely nice person. So very excited to initially introduce Marco Montemagno.
Oh, wow. What an introduction, guys. Thank you so much. First of all, a big round of applause for Simon and Sile. Thank you very much. So, nothing that Simon has said about me is true. The only reason why I interview Alessia is because I have 4 million followers on social media in Italy. And so one day I say, I would like to interview Alessia Zecchini. And I was chatting with my wife, and she said, oh, Alessia Zecchini, wow, amazing. Why don't you do it in Brighton? And I thought, I don't know, anyone cares about in Brighton? She said, yeah, of course. I mean, the documentary had a lot of success. And so I said, all right, great, let's do it like this. I will interview her. And I already record my Italian interview. Anyone Italian here? One. Okay, two. That's good. Three. I have great Italians. Okay. Five. We had it. All right, so let's do it only in Italian today. So we have recorded our interview for my social media channels. And honestly, she's amazing. That's the truth. She's amazing. So what I really would love to do now is I will call her on stage, and I just want you to have her answer so you can ask her questions. I will just facilitate. Me and Simon will just try to get as much as questions we have for her so that you can really enjoy this amazing human being. First of all, I said... She's not here. No, okay. I said, look, Brighton is really warm audience, I said. And she said, are they British? And I said, is it trash? And I say, yes, but Brighton is different, say. So let's test our welcome applause. So this line, this side, okay, my three, a big applause. 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
Good. That was good. Who did the whistle? Wow, that's a powerful one. Get ready for it. Left side, 1, 2, 3. Right. Okay. Simon, we have Alessia there, yeah? Okay. Please welcome Alessia Zacchini! Hello. So,
hello.
What about this welcome? Huh?
Well, thank you so much. It's incredible. It's amazing. It's so nice, guys.
So, first of all, I'll just kick off the conversation. Then Simon, obviously, jump in. You also can speak English. I can't speak English, so it's easier to understand what Simon says than what I say. And really, let's go into your questions. My only starting point, I was also asking you this ignorant question. When I watch a documentary, I notice that when you go down, you pull, and then suddenly you just stop and you keep going.
Yes.
And my low physics understanding doesn't allow me to understand how is that possible. How does it work?
It's magic.
Like David Copperfield.
Yeah. It's the best part, is that they free fall. So we just fall down because there is no air. Everything, the air inside our lungs, everywhere is compressed. So we just fall because there is no buoyancy anymore.
Wow, amazing.
Magic.
And when you come up, I notice that you don't pull. I would pull like, go for it, fast, just go fast. You know, like, I don't want to stay there, I want to go on. Instead, you go like very, very smooth.
You enjoy. You have to enjoy each moment more than you can. If you go too fast, you will consume so much oxygen and it's not good.
Right.
So efficient and enjoyable.
Wow, that's amazing. All right. So show me your hands if you have questions and I'll come to you, okay, in any moment. You just give me a sign. I had a chat with Alessia before and I was really impressed because there are some things that I'm so scared about. And for you is like normal. Things that I said before in our conversation, I say, look, how about aliens? I don't know, maybe. Is there, how about sharks? I watched the Meg and Meg 2. I said, what about sharks? You know, like, and I start to do my list of very stupid things. And she looked at me like, idiot, you know, like, but it's incredible for you. It's not scary there, and to me, the dark would be really scared.
It's blue, it's an amazing blue that just gives you peace, freedom. How you can be scared of something so beautiful? And the sharks are more afraid than us, the whales, all the animals are more afraid than us.
Right.
So just...
it's like...
Yeah, so then, if you see, you are super lucky.
Wow, nice. But maybe they're not afraid of me. You know, that's why.
Yes, they are.
All right. I saw a question over there. I worked for 7 years on television on Sky News Italy, and my director always say, never, ever give the microphone to an audience, you know? But I'll do it with you. I trust you because we share the same.
Yeah.
Right.
Hello.
Hello.
I see. My question is, obviously, you're hyper, you know, super relaxed where you're doing, like, a dynamic and things like that. My question is, what is going through your mind when you're doing any underwater, any apnea, any dynamic? What are you thinking about during a dive?
The most important thing is to don't think about anything. You just have to live the moment, be focused about each little movement, anything you have to do, without thinking about anything, because any little distraction, it can compromise your performance. So you have just to be super focused 100%. Don't think is the key for a lot of activities for being better. So let's train.
I should be good, I never think. I have zero, like, sometimes my wife say, what do you think? Nothing, I have, like, zero, there is no, I can't thinking about anything, you know. But no, jokes aside, how do you practice that? Because, you know, if I focus on don't think, I will think a lot.
You are thinking.
Yes.
Because you are thinking.
Not thinking, yes.
So you have to train a lot. I mean, for me, was the key was to go with a bike and so to have no music and to try to don't think. Each time I was thinking something, observe, stop to think, and keep going to don't think, and just doing the moments, feel the air, look around without just observing, without judging. You're just there. That's it. Leave the moment.
Sounds easy, but it's not.
It's not, so it's training. We can do everything.
That's amazing. Who's going to swim today in the ocean? Right?
This is extreme. No one's doing this. This is so extreme.
Can I share this behind the scenes story? So we were chatting to prepare your Brighton. How do you say in English when someone come? Your Brighton coming? Do you say like that?
Experience.
Yeah, Brighton experience. Yeah, and then we say, why don't we do something in the swimming pool? And I thought, wow, that's a great idea. She said, yeah, that's amazing. Let's do something.
Amazing,
you know? No, but at the beginning, she was like, yeah, sure, let's do something. And then Simon did a dramatic mistake.
So much.
He said, it's a heated swimming pool. and there I started already thinking, it's really heated. I mean, I thought it's probably 17 degrees. How about 20? Liar, it's not. That's absolutely, let's say it. Anyway, he wrote to Alessia, look, it's 20 degrees. And she said, I need a 5mm wetsuit to go there. And you're like,
I'm not ready for that. Slowly.
And so every time you're talking, people who go to swim in the ocean, you always say, wow, they're amazing. And I say, well, you are, but you also do that. You know,
but it's training, it's adaptation. I mean, our body can do it, but with a while, I need training for this. Next time, I will be ready. For me.
What's the temperature when you do when you...
It depends on the place. Our sea, the Mediterranean Sea, is like around 14 degrees, but the surface 28, 29. And the thermocline is around, 40, 50 meters, one shot, 14 degrees. But Caribbean, Indian Ocean is, it's 30 to 24.
What?
No, that's what I know.
Oh, that's why I immediately say to Simon, can you just do it to like 40 degrees? Can you just with the up and the rise of the temperature? But at the minute. Right, questions. Yeah, I'm coming to you.
It's based on what you just said. Hi.
Hello.
Does the
temperature... I think her name is Victoria. I don't know. I'm just reading your mind. But...
Does the temperature of the sea make a difference to how long you can stay under the water for? And is there an optimum temperature that you think, oh, this is perfect conditions, perfect temperature for me to dive?
I mean, the point is always that we are different. Everybody are different. So for me, that really, I have a problem with the cold. I am going in hypothermia in my pool that is 27 after 1 hour that I'm doing free diving. I already feel like something on my hand, on my feet. So it depends about yourself. For me, it's super important to be relaxed. And when I'm cold, I'm contract. I can't stay relaxed, so I can't equalize well. So everything is getting harder. So I love the 29 degrees to 25. Oh, it's amazing. I can't stay forever there.
You know that Alessia arrived. Can I say this? I don't know if it's a secret. She arrived with a gilet that she press a button and get warm. And I want it now. And she also has gloves that click the button and boom, we'll get warm.
I mean, I'm going with a scooter every day. I'm not so wrong, it's cold. Okay, it's not so cold, but it's cold. So I suggest to all of you, it's amazing. I mean, you press a button and boom, magic.
They hear it with like a t-shirt. I mean, they go to swim there. I don't know how they do it. You know that I do the Wim Hof. Anyone has tried the Wim Hof method? you know, when you breathe and do the cold shower like that. I've done it for 2 years. And then on January, with William there, an applause for William, he's a fantastic video maker there. Yeah. So I say, you know what? I'm gonna do a video and I will go in the ocean on January, I don't know, 9 degrees or something like that. And I'll prove that I can do it. So I did all my breathing like on the beach. And while I was doing it, everyone jumping in, you know, naked, like, look at me, like, what is he waiting? Is he, you know, he's Italian, all right, he's Italian. And then I do it finally. I go in, I do it, I freeze immediately. I think I'm gonna die like those silly YouTubers. I died, you know, trying something. So, and then I jump out of the water.
Super proud.
And I say, man, I did it. And he say, no, they didn't record. You have to do it. But I still love you, I still love you. Very good.
You are still alive.
I'm still alive. That's good. All right, I got on this side of questions. If you have, all right, I'm coming. All right.
Oh. So you have many world records, 38, in all the disciplines. I know about the fin and without the fin, but how many disciplines are there? And can you just go through them and which one's your favorite?
Yes. So there are two kinds, indoor and outdoor. Indoor, we can do in the pool. So the goal is to go horizontal and more meter you can do with fins. Monofin or without anything, so no fins. And there is the last discipline indoor, is the static. So we just hold our breath without moving on the surface, and this is the discipline that I don't like at all. And after this, the outdoor. So my biggest love, so you have to do in the open water, mostly in the sea, of course, and one and do also in the lake. And there, I mean, the goal is to go deeper than you can, and you can do with the monofin, with the bifins, in free immersion, then this is the only discipline that you can pull, actually, our line, our rope. And there is the no fin, that is the hardest one, because you have no fins, you can't pull, you can do anything, you have just to swim, and swimming back. And this is the hardest that I like, but not so much. The other three in the sea, I mean, I can decide, I love all. They are so beautiful, each one is different, and with the one of you, you can do deeper. In free immersion, you can be longer under the water, so it's more enjoyable. All are so beautiful. I suggest you to try. What?
For how long can you hold your breath in a static environment?
7 minutes, but last time it was 2014. I stopped because I say, I mean, if I like more to...
You mean Tom Cruise?
But Tom Cruise hold it for 7 minutes. But it's a movie. It's like, what? What's the difference of record between the fin, or if you go like a little party, say, like if you
like
go
a without,
like a frog, yeah, like that you...
123 is the world record, mine with monofin, and the world record in no fins is 78.
Wow, okay. So it's a big difference. Big difference.
So much.
What's can we give?
That.
Okay. I'm interested in... How do you're obviously trying to direct, but how do you know when you don't come up?
You don't know when you are down. When you are on the bottom, everything is perfect. Has to be perfect. So you try because you did in training or in the previous competition and you went out fresh. So you feel that you can do something more. And so you just add that 2-3 meters to your previous performance and it should be good.
This should be good.
Yeah, right. So be good because I mean, the sea, it's open water, so it could be current, no current, or you maybe are a bit tiring.
Do you have any safety things with you in case, obviously, you try it a bit too much?
So, yeah, we have some safeties that are meeting us around 35, 40 meters when we are coming up. For the rest of our journeys or the descent and the ascent until 35, we have alone. Mostly of the competition now we have a drone that is following us, so in case something can happen, maybe they can release the counterbalance and we come back, but generally nothing happened down there.
I would love a lot of counterbalance if I do it. pushing out. That would be amazing.
Yes, but I mean, we are attached by a liner that maybe is on our wrist or our ankle. So I mean, it's not the best to be like a fish.
Like pulled.
Yeah.
I'm coming this side.
That side also, because there were two.
Oh, all right. Sorry, yeah, sorry, yeah, sorry. Yeah. This is the, they paid the premium price. I'm joking. I was trying to invent something, but I didn't. You told me something before that was very interesting. I always thought if I have to go in an apnea state, in English I say like that, but it's not, but like if I want to go underwater, I would do like that, you know, like a lot of hyperventilation. And then I go under. That's my idea, but it's wrong.
It's super wrong. I never do anymore. Never. Because it's super dangerous. Because we change our level of CO2 and O2, and so we have no signal. Our body can say to us something that, oh, maybe now you have to go out. No, when this signal arrives, it's too late.
Right.
So we have to breathe slowly, gentle, and do the last breath bigger than we can, and never exhale during the dive. The people think, most of them, that you have to exhale little by little during the dive. No. We just hold all our breath. And if you see some bubble at the end of our dive, it's just because we have a bit of more air than our capacity, the vital capacity, so that air will go out by itself, but that's it. We don't exhale. All the oxygen we keep for ourselves. It's super important. Never exhale and never hyperventilate.
I always did this wrong.
Hi,
I'm
Hello.
I was just wondering why and how you started.
What do you do, Susie, by the way?
I'm a Pilates teacher.
All right, Pilates teacher, right.
So how I started, I mean, I was doing pool since I was 6 and I hate so much to be on the surface. And actually, my parents brought me on holiday in Mediterranean, Greece, all around Italy. And I was like, I want to go down and I feel pain on my ear. And so it was a limit for me. So in the last like 10 years, 11 years in the pool, they told me to do one line under the water. And I said, wow, that's amazing. This is what I like so much. And so I started to ask my parents for 2 years to do a freediving course. And after that, I discovered a world because it was amazing. I have no limit with equalization. I could dive, I could see animals. So it was the best things ever.
So you already, basically you felt it, your mission was already clear. Like it was already there.
Yeah, I mean, when I start after 6 months, I said, okay, I will become a freediver and this is my life.
Got it.
It's so beautiful. I mean, what do you want to do?
I was thinking, why don't start to do your job. I'll keep mine for a second. Right, I'll go on this side.
Emmy, I'm a jeweler. I wanted to ask you, do you have a dive that's like extra special to you, like a specific one that comes to mind, like as a favorite?
Yeah, of course. I mean, what is in my heart more is 102, 104 so much, because it was really my biggest dream since I almost started freediving, because that record, it was the record. And that was super hard and super intense and so beautiful. And yeah, it's my favorite. And also the last one, because 123, I mean, I tried to take this record also for like 3 years, 4 years. And it was hard because my competitors are growing a lot. So when this year I got an hernia, I was destroyed. The pain was super hard, but I was in Philippines. So I say, okay, don't give up and just do it, enjoy. And I enjoyed so much. After that, I was destroyed and I need to do a surgery. But I enjoy one of the best dive ever.
Who are your, by the way, who watched the documentary here? I like everyone, okay. No, I don't know, someone maybe, no. And the record has changed a lot in 5 years. What's the difference now?
20 meters more. I mean, it's amazing because it's growing like super crazy. After, I mean, it was 6 years that no one was beaten the record. After that, boom, it was incredible. Yeah, it's a sport that is improving the limits.
But why is that?
Because it's still a young sport, let's say, and not before, not so many people were facing that. Now, I mean, it's growing everywhere, and most of them are becoming professional freedivers. So they just do this for the life.
Right.
And so they live in Hub, they live in Philippines, they live in places that they can dive every day. And so it's getting harder and harder.
Is there any apnist here in the room? Does... Well, what's your record?
Not quite the same.
I love it. This, I love it. All right. Okay. Good. And also here? All right. Okay.
Oh.
Well, it's already pretty good. Mine is 4 centimeters. I mean, so a pro. Okay. That's amazing. I think also the what you have done, I think you've inspired a lot of people. I saw in Italy, I mean, a lot of people that really want to start to try. So that's amazing.
Hello, buongiorno.
Thanks for the explanation on the different disciplines of freediving. Forgive me if I'm wrong, but maybe there's one you didn't mention, which is the money limits.
Oh.
So, yeah, well, you go down on this sort of weighted sled and you come up with a inflated balloon. So my question is, do you compete on that discipline, and what's your opinion on that discipline? Is it controversial? Is that my understanding?
Yes. When I did my first course, second or third lesson, our instructor showed us the accident of Audrey Mestre. That was a lady that was trying to beat the men record, and it was the record of his husband. And she died. Actually, like around 60 meters, she already lost consciousness. It was a terrible video. And so there was my father, and he asked me, please promise to me that you will never do these disciplines. So I did it, of course, and I never tried. Because, I mean, our body can adapt to everything, but not with something like this. It's so fast. The last man that tried the record was Herbert Nitsch, and he went to 244 meters.
Wow,
he got
244.
Yes, he was paralyzed, half of his body. He has to learn again to walk, to speak, to do everything. So, I mean, it's so dangerous. It's too dangerous because our body can adapt to 6 meters per second. So fortunately now they remove this discipline also. So it's done. There is just the variable weight that you can go down, but come back with your fins or no fins, whatever. But the no limits is done, it's forbidden forever. It was too much, too dangerous.
Right. Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah, it is.
I'm scared before, now even more. Yeah.
I saw this lad in that period, he was building this lad that was like, hey, right. Wow. 6 meters per second in the sea, it's super crazy. It's so fast.
You don't have time to adjust.
My friend, I love open water swimming. I think a lot of people here also enjoy open water swimming. This is a great base for it. So you said earlier that you got bored when you were swimming up and down a pool. And I think a lot of people, an indoor pool, a lot of people can relate to that. Indoor, I said, not. Right, not outdoor pool. So I'm just interested in what you think the similarities are between swimming, open water swimming and free diving, outside free diving or in the pool, and what those similarities are, and is there much of a crossover, and what attracts you to what attracted you to free diving and not going down the open water swimming?
Because I like so much to hold my breath. It was like incredible. I mean, when I was down, all my breath, I felt more connected with everything. And when I was swimming on the surface, I love the backstroke.
Yeah.
Because there was a little underwater part. So I understood that really, I'm okay, I like to swim, it was fine. I mean, now I love swimming on the surface with the fins, in the monofin, because I mean, it's getting faster. I like a lot now. But it was something that I missed. I missed to be under the water and feel the water around everything and glide a lot. So, but this is super important. I mean, my training is mostly in the pool because it's super necessary for the technique, for everything. open water swimming also, it's super cool, but to dive down is cooler because, I mean, we are going in the best place in the world. My friends that are going, that are competing in the free swimming outdoor, they do mostly in the harbor, in place, not so beautiful like mine.
how good of a swimmer are you?
I mean, I'm okay. I'm much better under the water.
Right. But do you like practice? You swim like for how long? If you practice like
5 kilometers, like 5-6, but with monofin.
5 kilometers a week or?
No, a day it was.
A day. Got it. Okay. Well, sorry, I was trying to. Okay.
Yeah, it's important.
So you swim a lot, basically. You also practice the technique a lot.
Yes, of course. But with monofin or short fins, sometimes without, but mostly with.
It's such a different audience, you see. We go from any kind of job. That's amazing. Yeah.
You know, I wanted to ask you in particular, what's the most amazing and beautiful thing you've seen as wild on the water? That sticks in your mind.
It's hard because I like a couple of them. I mean, the most excited and beautiful was to die with the blue whales in Sri Lanka. It was incredible because we were on the boat, we tried to catch where they were, and so you jump from the boat to the sea, and so the first thing that you see is like a huge eye that is looking on you and is going diving, and it's like boom! It's unbelievable to think, to believe. It's amazing. It was 25 meters whale. It was wow. Another encounter that was really amazing was to play with the sea lions in Baja California, because they are like puppy, and it's, I mean, when they told me, I say, okay, yes, man, come on, it's impossible. And no, it's like play with puppy. They do everything you do, they just give it at you, and you just keep going to enjoying them. It's wow, yeah. Under the water is a world that you have to discover because it's too beautiful.
I'm just curious, have you tried underwater?
Well, wait, sorry, so what did you just say? Underwater hockey?
Yes, I try. It's cool, it's nice. I never like doing a proper game, but I tried the underwater hockey.
What,
yes.
Are you talking for it? Like, what is underwater hockey?
It's a game, I mean, that you can play underwater.
Right.
And I mean, the goal is to put the ball in the basket. Underwater rugby also is cool because the ball is jumping under the water because it's mixed with salty water in the splash.
Amazing. This is like a...
We can do everything under the water.
Right, got it.
Yeah.
Fearless, but I wanted to ask if there is anything you fear. Cold winter.
In the water. I mean, my biggest fear when I'm going to dive is to do some mistake. But it's just this, I mean... I think you can be afraid of something that you love so much. I mean, I'm not afraid of the sea because, I mean, you just have to observe, respect. But yeah, maybe to do some mistakes that compromise the performance, yes. So you have just to don't think and just enjoy the present because, I mean, the sea keeps you calm and enjoyable everything.
Give us a little bit more help to understand how to deal with fear, because I'm scared of many things, and often, you know, you just start to focus on that, you know, you're afraid and start to focus on that, and so it's very difficult to stop worrying and go back in a status that is like your peak performance status. Tell us what you do. I mean, do you have like a system or a process or a habit, or you activate your body in a certain way? What do you do?
You face with the fear. I mean, you try to speak with your mind and I mean, why you are afraid of something. You have to understand why. I mean, mostly of the time we are just afraid of something that at the end is not so bad or so dangerous. I mean, you have to be respectful for the things, at the same time be realistic. I mean, why you have to be afraid of the sea, of the blue of the sea? What can hit can do with you? It's, I mean, you have just to speak with your mind, understand how is the best way to trust yourself.
Got it. I immediately thought about a quote that say, I'm not afraid of the dark, I'm afraid of what's inside the dark. You know, that's That's why I'm scared. But no, it's interesting because it's so, sometimes it's just your instinct, you know, you default into a wrong way of approaching things.
I mean, since I was young, I never want to be, like, to stop because I was afraid of something. I always want to face. When I was super young, my father told me, if you're afraid to jump, you will fall. And at the end, it was true. Every time I was a bit not so sure, I could fail. And so just face, just be focused and do what you want, and it's possible.
Big applause. Come on, come on, guys. That's a... That's true. You're Italian. Yeah.
So let's say, Jeff, I've got two questions, actually. One is, so I gather from what you're saying that you're still competing. I wonder how long you'll compete for and what do you think you'll do afterwards whilst you're thinking about that. So does free diving, does it make your body stronger or does it damage your body? Or does it do that?
That's a good one. That's a really good one.
So I want to compete for a long time. I mean, Natalia Molchanova was my idol and she was competing since she died, 52, 53 years. So my goal is maybe to have a little stop, to have maybe a couple of kids and come back to compete because I think I can't live without sea, without diving. And that's my biggest dream. And I mean, if our body is damaged, I mean, for sure, going in the sea is like consume our muscle a lot, for we have to rebuild every time with good gym. But at the end, I don't think the effects are too bad. I mean, I will tell you in the 20, 30 years, so sure be not.
But it's also true that I recently been to the European Space Agency and that they were explaining how astronauts got, you know, like, physical damage by being in space, the bones, the muscles, it's like a huge impact. So I imagine that being down there, of course, you are under strong pressure.
13 atmosphere.
Oh, God, 13 atmosphere. Not even Tom Cruise go to 13 atmosphere in Top Gun 2.
I don't think so.
Wow, no, that's amazing. So that you really need to be strong. So you get to the competition like, stronger because you know that you will have some kind of effect after.
Yeah, because it's 1 month or 5 weeks of training, diving every day. So we can do just one dive. Just one dive to 100 or plus. More, our body can't do it. So, I mean, yes, it consumes muscles and also you can't like do a proper training after that. You can do, yes, a bit of gym, but not so strong, not so hard. So it's keeping a bit, but not so much. So it's important when you come back home to rebuild a bit your body and come back to the good shape.
Right. How long does it take to recover from a competition? Like,
no, I mean, it's the traveling time and maybe 1-2 days and after you have to come back to train because more long you are without training and worse is for your body. I mean, I have 1 month of holiday during my year.
That's it.
That's it.
Wow.
I'd like to know how you managed to stay so positive because obviously you've experienced the terrible loss. Yeah. And did you take a lot of time out or did you keep going or and did you manage that?
I managed because I have a passion and I mean it was this our same passion. So I could go through immediately after like 3 weeks, 1 month. I decide, oh, I destroyed myself, or I just do what I should and what I'm good to do it. So, I mean, it saved my life just free diving and think what I must do because with Steven, we already planned everything and I knew exactly what I should do in the World Championships. We were training for that. So my only goal was just free dive because it was the only moment that I feel good under the water. So just they saved me and I think having a passion, having something that really makes you happy and makes you alive is the only things that you can do for surviving.
Yeah. And you ever thought, John? And have you ever thought about quitting and say, look, that's it, enough?
And after I will die. So no, it's impossible.
don't quit anyway. I was just... Right, I'll go there.
I just wondered how you manage the adrenaline when you're competing. Were you have to be so super relaxed?
It's training for everything. I mean, before it was not so much adrenaline, it was maybe stress, anxious, because you have to perform in that moment, in that situation, one shot. So it's training. I mean, when I went my first time in international competition, I was 19 and it was okay, good. I arrived fourth and I understood that I have to do something more. And so I went to a mental coach and he just gave me a few keys, like the visualization, that I think that is one of the best skills that you can learn. And so visualize every part of your dive, every sensation and the satisfaction after your performance, the happiness, the joy, it makes everything easier. And so now I know exactly how I have to be. And I mean, you can enjoy during the day without being so emotional. And all the happiness, it's coming after. It's training for everything.
I've interviewed a lot of mental coaches in the last 25 years, and also Tony Robbins. You know Tony Robbins, the motivational speaker. And every time I talk with an athlete now, they all have a team, and there is like mental coach and physio. And what's your team? What's your like entourage?
Free diving, it's a new sport. We saw everything. So, I mean, my team is my amazing coach for the underwater part, for the free diving part. And now I have another couple of coach for the physical part. And the rest, I mean, it's hard. It's a new sport.
Right.
So you build, I mean, you need to trust to someone. I mean, I change quite a lot of physiotherapists because at the end I have always the same problem. And with the nutrition also, you need to try, find. I mean, we have not a big team that you can choose. You have to choose the people. And it's not easy because the federation is...
Still.
Yeah, I mean, we are alone.
Got it.
So it's, I mean, when I'm traveling, when I'm going to compete, I am alone. I am no team, no one. You make a team there because there are the safety that we need to trust like a lot. So you make the team in every place you are. But yeah, it's still a bit hard to do.
We can come with you. We will come to Philippines. Who will come to Philippines to the club? Where is there? Okay, I'll come on this side, the other side. Wait.
You are an inspirational person, truly. Fantastic. I'm an engineer, you didn't ask me what I do, but I'm an engineer.
And if you don't understand it, because it's Scottish, you know
that. Yes, and John's going to translate for me.
Right.
But I'm interested about the technology side of it, and I'm thinking about the model fin or the fins and how... that's probably changed a lot, I'm sure, over the last 10 years or whatever. And as sport gets more popular, maybe there's more investment. So, you know, the first question is, are you seeing, you know, changes in the technology of these fins? And do you have a favourite fin? You know, if you turned up at a competition and you lost it, would that be a disaster? Or are you just go and pick up another one? Or, you know, are they customised for you? You know, how far has that came in the technology?
Yeah, I mean, the last years are really... the monofin, the fins improved a lot. Until last year, I was using a Ukrainian manufacturer, and it was for me the best one. Russia and Ukraine are the best fin makers ever. Now, a company in Italy in the last 4 or 5 years is growing, and now they become the best. So I changed the monofin, and wow. I mean, it's like half effort and faster. So yes, I mean, everything is growing a lot, and in Italy we are becoming super strong. And also, I mean, before it was a tragedy, because if you broke a monofin that is from Ukraine, you need to wait that they are doing again, you have to send by bus. It was because, I mean, if you send by post, it's broken most of the time. So yes, it was a big, big stress. Now in Italy, it's getting a bit easier.
So you put it in the...
Do you bring it in the hole, but you take it on?
Always, always you have to smile and say, please, please, I need to work with me. And you're like,
yeah. Are you okay? Are you okay? Yes. Italians, we are always so much better. Let's say this room. I mean, we are doing also this. But is Italy the best country for apneist or not?
Yes, I mean, we have a big story. So we are really one of the strongest country.
Right.
France too, because Mallorca and Mayol, I mean, the Grand Blais, the biggest competition in freediving is from Mallorca and Mayol, Italy against France.
Is there any French person here? Right.
Nah, you know.
So they will say, no, France is much better.
That's like classic.
Most of the competitions are super strong, but from the East Europe, wow, they are getting stronger and stronger.
Right,
yeah,
right.
The man is from Russian and Croatian, the most stronger. So yeah, it's getting harder around the world, and the Japanese too are super strong.
Got it. What's the difference between, I'll just go down there and come back to you. What's the difference between men and women with world records?
Mine is 123 and men is 136. So it's not big, huge difference, but in no fins, the record is 78, the man is 102. So in the DCB that you need a lot of strength, okay, the men are still better than us, but in the other discipline, it's super, super close, the record.
Got it.
So, first of all, thank you very much, because now when I said I'm Italian, they said pasta, pizza, and the superwoman, less. I want to ask you about Italian, what you bring with you around the world.
Le tonnarelli cacciapelle.
Allora. Allora. I brought with me 0.5 liter of olive oil. Yes, because.
Really? No, you're serious.
No, you have this. Yes, of course. How I can stay without. We make is our olive oil trees. So I brought 0.5 kilos of that because, I mean. With this and with Parmesan that I brought with me, I can make pasta. It's perfect. After that, in last trip in Philippines, I brought like 3 kilos of tomato sauce from. I know we are Italian. It's super hard to travel, but it was so good. The mom of my coach make it. So how I couldn't bring, and also 1 kilo of prosciutto, half ham. Yeah, because I mean, I can't find it. And so how I can make my breakfast like always every day. So yeah, I mean, it's a bit dangerous because in most of the countries forbidden to bring all of this. But I mean, let's try.
You hide it in the hide it in the model thing, yeah. You travel with a fridge, basically.
Adam, professional cop. Sorry, house husband. I was just going to ask you, if you're relaxing in the bath, do you ever have a sneaky 5 minute sort of hole?
That's not all. Yes, you can. I mean, I always shower. I have this new house, but I never use the bath. But yes, you can do it. I mean, no, it's the most important is warm. With warm, yeah, everything is good.
I'm going to ask a very stupid question. But, you know, I will. You can hold your breath longer outside the water than inside the water, or not, or is the same?
Wrong. No, we are marine animal, so we have the diving reflex. And so soon we go in the water, we have something in our face that is say to our mind, oh, you are in the water, you have to consume less oxygen. And so the heart rate is going down and everything is getting slower, and so under the water we can be much more than outside.
Got it.
And how do you find the process and how you dealing with the Netflix pain, obviously, like not many people knowing you to the world without it.
Yeah, I mean, it was not an idea from Netflix, of course. It was from a lady, and everything started 5 years ago. Because she knew the family, and she asked the family if they want to do it. They said yes, and they have all the footages. Everything was real. There are not filming
everything, it was already recorded. So they just to put all together. And so it was quite easy. And with Netflix, I mean, I never participated to any premiere, to anything they did, because I mean, for me, it was do the film, try to keep the memory of Steve alive forever, and that's it. I mean, I refused any kind of interview after the film, everything, because I mean, everything was in the film, that's it. It's not so real like it happened in the reality. They put much more drama and love because it's a film also. But the memory of Steve, it's amazing there.
You got hugely popular after the Netflix documentary. Just to give an idea, if I go to Italy, every 2 seconds someone asks me for a selfie, okay? Say, Monte, can I sell another selfie? Before, we were just walking, me and Alessia, and a couple of person arrive and say, can I have a selfie? And I say, yes. No, can you take a photo? And I say, yeah, sorry. And I say, you like that. I can't even take, you know, photo. So she's really like, I'm so happy. I hate selfie, you know. I like to play chess now. I stay there in my own corner and that's it. No, that's great.
But not a sport, yeah, remember.
But, you know, but a lot of, you told me that brain, use a lot of oxygen, and if you are scared or you have to be very careful because it will burn your oxygen, basically.
A lot, man. Not only the negative thoughts, also the positive one. If you are super adrenaline or anything, every kind of big emotion is consume oxygen. The fear is the most dangerous, because if you are afraid, really, first, you can't relax like you should, so you are consuming oxygen also from your muscle. And also your brain is like, is consuming a lot. So you have just to, don't think, don't be afraid, enjoy. That is the most beautiful things. Just enjoy the second, and everything is coming easy.
So when you see someone that arrives and say, oh, I'm gonna do this, you know, like that.
It didn't work out.
You already know it's over, no chance.
Yeah, or your body is so intelligent, that so smart, that it just do something that you can't equalize anymore, and so you turn early.
Right.
Because our body is super, super clever, and it saves us.
It's a very tricky balance now that I know that thing, because on one side you have to be super, you know, focused, and I'm going to do this, you know. So it requires a determination, an effort, and willpower. On the other side, you have to be like,
Zen.
Super zen, and it doesn't look like it's the same thing. I mean, are two opposite forces, in my opinion.
Yeah, you have to find the balance, the correct balance and everything. And of course, it's a process. It's training in one side, and it's failure in the other side. When you fail, you will analyze much better than when you success, and you understand that what I can improve, which mistake I did that I can't do again for being better. And so you learn, you fail and learn. I mean, I did 38 world records, yes, but maybe I failed double or triple times.
Right. As my coach said, table tennis coach said, the answer is inside you, but it's wrong. So that was my very optimistic coach. I changed it so bad.
How are your ears? Do you have any problems with your ears? And does that come down to just equalizing properly as you go down, so understand that tinnitus can be physically and mentally debilitating?
Yes, of course. And the problem is, when we dive, until like maximum 50, I'm saying something really incredible, generally until 30 meters, we can put air in our mouth. And that air we need for equalizing our ears. So you need to be super, super focused to don't eat, let's say, our air again in our lungs. So, I mean, it's a process, super, super gentle. You don't have to be distracted. You don't have to be afraid because, poof, the air disappeared. And so, I mean, it's training also. I mean, I train during the afternoon also to improve my equalization techniques. And so, I mean, yeah, it's training and everything is getting, but what I think that the most important, I mean, now in freediving, they teach like the highest technique for equalizing. I mean, the most important is to understand how you work and the easiest things you should do when you dive. I mean, you can do to 10 meters in the same technique to 100 without think too much. just improve what you think, what you do naturally.
I'm curious about whether you know when you're competing exactly of your captains that M comes to died. Do you know this guy needs? Because you're going for a grand award, you've got a number in mind.
Yes, I mean, you train in the same place for a while, so you know where you are because you know the color you feel. I mean, it's inside your body, the meters that you are. It's not maybe exactly, but you know exactly more or less. When I was in Philippines and trained for the last record, one day I have my watch, the depth gauge, but it was the low battery. And I say, okay, no problem. Because we have some alarms during our dive that tell us, okay, you are at 30 meters, so you have to put air in your mouth. You are at 60, so you have to stop to swim. And so I went super easy, super sure that I have my watch. I have to do 117, that dive. And during my dive, no alarm. Because low battery means no alarm. And I didn't know, I discovered after.
You didn't charge the watch?
No, because it was with the battery. I have still the analogic one. I'm no technology because I forget every time to recharge. Yes, of course. But that dive, I did exactly what my coach say in the dive time. I did perfectly the same dive time and I knew exactly where it was and each things I should do, I did exactly in the same way. So, I mean, yes, inside yourself, we know where we are.
It becomes really instinctive.
Yes, it's instinctive, and yeah, that's it.
And when
magic.
When you finish, Alessia, can you say, look, I probably had 2 meters more, 3 meters more, 1 meter more, or no, that was absolutely the maximum I could do?
Yes, you feel, maybe it's not like, okay, yeah, 5.5, no. But yes, you feel that you have a big way to improve, or maybe not, we are in the limit. And if you're in the limit, you should analyze and say, I'm really in the limit, or I did some mistakes. That's so maybe next time I can repeat, avoid some mistakes, and maybe understand if I can do more or not.
You're really an inspiration amongst us, lots of people, and it will be to young people coming up during the sport, who are coming all competitors, because they're a big. Just thinking about the future of food diving, is it, it's got a federation here, Carl, but is it looking to be, would you see it as an Olympic sport in the future or something competitive in that sphere? What you would like to say here down that month?
I would love, I mean, it's a dream of every athlete. So we are candidate for Los Angeles 2028.
Right. Awesome.
So let's hope, really, let's hope. I mean, it's a dream. I think people love to see this sport because it's super beautiful and they see it's amazing. So I hope so much. Thank you so much.
Do you want me to call Bison to say we
see it now? Thanks for taking the photo.
Oh, yeah, that was a pleasure. Me and you.
It's a great photo. Obviously, in the documentary, you see a lot of people kind of blacking out near the top. And I'm just curious to know what kind of goes through your head when you're coming up near the surface and you're feeling like you're at capacity and like at limit. And so, yeah, before like in the blackout, what are you thinking? What's kind of...
For me, it's maybe different because, like I said, everybody are different. So I always think positive, always. So also the blackout is something nice for me because until the end, the last second, I think that I can do it. Yeah. So you just keep going in your dream. So most of the time, I just woke up and say, what happens? You have someone that is bringing you up, but why? I mean, it was so beautiful. I was enjoying so much. So it depends. I mean, if you're still thinking positive, it's like to dream for a cute little while. And after you come back, I say, oh, it's a pity. So after that, you are a bit sad.
Yeah.
But after that, again, you analyze and you understand why. Yes.
The pessimists are right, but the optimist people are successful. You know how it is to say. You're so optimist, and you're really in love with that. Yeah. Anyone here is in love? Sorry. Okay, I got it. Anyone here remember when you were in love? Okay. Wow, guys, I thought Brighton was a little bit better. Okay, that's a different topic for other. But I mean, you know, the feeling when you're in love, when I talk with you, you're really in love with with what you do, which is amazing because unlock your superpowers then. That's a different way to deal with it. All right, sorry. I'm being shocked by my stupid blog question.
And do you ever say Steve other divers? Or is it you just compete and that's it?
If you do safety for other drivers.
I mean, I do maybe at the beginning of my training, like the first days, because you can like dive to 100 plus and maybe before do a dive to 30, 40 meters or do the opposite. It's most dangerous too. So generally maybe we help each other in the beginning, maybe if there are no safety divers that already coming in the place. But after that, yeah, we have to be focused just to our dive. But this is a thing that I would love to do in the future because I think it's one of the most beautiful work that you can do. And yeah, I hope that in the year coming, they will pay them for this because still in most of the place and they are just volunteers. Yeah.
Would you like some water?
Yeah.
Yeah? Can we get some little water and a limoncello for me? And I can't actually ask a lot.
Thank you. Thank you, Sergio. With all this training, I was just wondering, do you find the time to actually dive for fun? On this essentially. And can you give us a tip or where to go in the net, let's say, if we wanted to birth and have some fun dive?
Red Sea, it's one of the most beautiful places because the reef is super, super shallow. And I mean, I love to do fun dives. I do free diving mostly because, I mean, after the dive to 100 and plus, after that, you have all the time for enjoying the sea. And you don't need to go to 40 meters. The life is around the first 20 meters, most of the life. Thank you so much. And so the most beautiful place are Maldives with the boat trips, because the boat trips bring you in the most beautiful place around and not just on the beach. And Caribbean also are amazing place to see everything. If you want to see blue whales or whales in general, go to Tonga, go to Sri Lanka. If you want to see sea lions, go to Baja California. If you want to see dolphins, go to Egypt, like Hurghada. Wow, there are so many places. Hey, we need this place to still keep it safe. And
And of course, Brighton, you can go with we got dolphins and we also got the, how do you say the in English, the paleolike, how do you say the wind turbine. So we have also a lot of wind turbines.
I saw it, wow, it's so good. But it are in the middle of the sea?
Yeah, why? No, I mean, they like 100, 150, 200, like, they build a lot of wind turbines there. And
so it should be, maybe it's not deep. Because if they can put this, maybe it's not so, so deep, that pot.
You know what? I'll go check now.
You're coming to amazing distance.
Thank you. It's fault.
A lot of things, Liz.
Well, I know. It's my fault.
In your journey to the level of achievement that you're at the moment, can you identify a breakthrough in like physical training or your mental and your mental training that suddenly took you to the next level? There's something that changed, or a teacher, or something that suddenly made sense to you that enabled you to suddenly jump up to a higher level of achievement?
Yeah, like I saw when I went in 2013, before my first World Championships, to this mental coach, it changed everything. I mean, after that, I won every competition and medal in all the international competition. And in the physical part, I mean, in the last couple of years, I changed a lot my training to the strength, to the power side, and a bit less swimming. And swimming, I'm getting stronger, and is the best now for the depth that I'm doing. Because before I was competing in pool and depth, so it was okay to still do this preparation. But now in depth, it's getting too hard, and so we need to be much, much stronger.
You're the demented coach, do you change?
He just gave me a few keys that I have to train and to become mine. I mean, to visualize so well each details is not so easy, so we need to practice. And also he suggests me to do a list of each things that could compromise my performance. And that helped me a lot, because if you do everything perfectly and in the competition happen just one thing that maybe is not under your control, you can manage. When there are too many things that are not under your control, it's oof, it's a pity, and it's not fine. So yeah.
When you visualize, can you put yourself more or less in the same state of the competition? Are you able to like go through like you there?
Yes, but it's training. I mean, at the beginning also, I mean, you have to visualize 3 minutes and you take like 20 after practice and practice, because the most easily things that the people do when you visualize, they lost. Because you start thinking about, oh, the eggs, I need to cook eggs on the kitchen, I need to do the laundry. And that's not good. So I need to restart from the beginning. And so, I mean, it's training, and after a while, you got it.
You know, I was thinking, imagine if in one of your next interview in the future, you'll say, after that event in Brighton Seeley, my career completely, you know, it was a pivotal moment for my career. That would be amazing. Please, just say it once. Just one.
Oh. Hi, Miguel. Thank you so much. You are inspirational. Everyone said that word, inspirational.
Thank you. I'm not sorry.
But you are quite clearly the inspiration to lots of people, and you were sports as well as you knew. So I would like to know, also on the Netflix documentary, from being really little, it said that you knew you wanted to be a world champion, which is incredible considering it's a new sport. So it wasn't like you had thousands of people to do this. So what was your inspiration? And you've also talked about focus, and it seems to me you have incredible inner strength, focus, you know, you inspire yourself. And I want to know what really inspired you. Was it just you had this kind of incredible talent, you love the water and you wanted to go for it? And then just as an aside, a film I love is The Big Blue, and I just wanted, because in my 50-odd years, the only time there's been anything in the public domain on this type of sport is The Big Blue. And actually your documentary, there haven't been that. I'm sure there's others, but there haven't been any. So I just wondered, you know, it's interesting when you are a trailblazer in this bit. So
I didn't see The Big Blue since I did the course. So it was something that it came from myself. I found something that I really love so much. And I didn't miss one lesson when I started the course. Once I had 38 fever and I didn't say anything to my parents. I really want with all my heart to just do that. And there was no woman in Italy that could live with this. We have just Mallorca, Pellizzari, 3-4 men that could do this for life. But there was also Natalia Molchanova, that was one lady in the world. So for me, it was enough. It's enough to have one or two people that did it. It means that it's possible. And if someone did it, if it's possible, why I can do it? And what was enough? No one believed in my dream. Not with my friend, I didn't say to anybody because the people think that I was crazy. I mean, but as a matter, I mean, if you really want something, just try with all your effort and can be real.
I mean, in Rome, I wouldn't say that you go play football. In Italy, you know, you have some standard sports that dominate and you're not expected to do something else. You remind me a bit of, you know, when Tomba, do you remember Alberto Tomba was a skier? Well, very, very strong. And he was from Bologna, and there is no snow in Bologna. So people say, who is this guy? And he was an unbelievable talent. But he said, look, I want to do this, you know, so it's a great, I think, inspiration. You know, no matter where you are, you know, you can still do it.
Have any advice for anyone who likes to try freediving, like, who has no experience at all? Like, where would you start? It's quite overwhelming. Any advice, okay?
So the first thing that you have to do is to find a good course, because like everything, you need to have the technologies to do everything in a safe situation. So do a course and enjoy and be beautiful, because the most important is to be beautiful in the water. All the animals are so amazing. If you see a sea lion out of the water, maybe it's not so beautiful. When it is in the water, it looks, it's incredible, it's magic. So we need to be beautiful. It means that the technique is beautiful, is good, and so you don't consume oxygen, and you have to enjoy. When I do some workshop, I mean, the people, they are stressed before the competition, before the dive. You don't have to be stressed. It's something that you decide to do it. So just enjoy.
By the way, I have zero affiliation, but I've done a lot of interviews on the topic. And In Italy, there is one of the deepest indoor pool in the world. It's one of the deepest. I don't remember.
42 meters.
42 meters.
Near Padova. It's wonderful. Yeah. If you stay by there, go there and see it.
It's an interesting experience. A lot of people say, wow, that's really good for beginner, for
I'm
pro like me.
Him.
I can... Oh, that's fine. Anyone can go and it's really interesting. Yeah.
Can you talk about what got you into it, or feeling as you get from being there? Like we think of become the addiction, and whether it's the feeling that actually is hopeless and not drive. So I do cold water swimming, and yet there's the endorphins you create out, which are things to go back in the sea. So I'm wondering how much that's what you only seen the help of the addiction yet, or the totally tell calling.
Yeah, I think it's a great addiction.
Like you were saying.
Yeah. Because the best, because I mean, we are addicted to something natural. I mean, when I am under the water, I have also narcosis. What is narcosis? We are like super drunk, like crazy drunk under the water. It's something crazy. But it's so cool. It's something natural at the same time. So, yes, I mean, I think it's great to be addicted of nature, whatever it takes. I mean, it's super cool.
My question, how many hours a week do you train the fold, and what kind of exercises do you do? In the possession too.
So, until a couple of years ago, I was training like 5 times per week in the pool. Now I'm doing a bit less, and I'm more focused about the quality than of the quantity. I was doing 5-6 kilometers, now I'm doing like 3, 3.5, maximum 4 in some kind of training, maximum, but with quality. So I do hypercapnic session or hypoxic one, which means that the CO2 is getting higher or the O2 is getting lower. And that's adapting my body to stay a lot without any, I'm doing like 16 times 50 meters with like starting each 40, 45 seconds. This is like a beginning of training.
You know that I recently bought a CO2 tracker that I put in my studio because I thought sometimes I take such a stupid decision that can't be me, has to be something else. And so I thought maybe it's the CO2, you know, my brain stuck. And actually, the CO2 was not changing at all. So I realized that is me. But it's incredible when you pay attention to this, how it changed and how your brain processed information different based on the CO2 that is in a room. It's really interesting experiment to do.
Yes, for this we need to breathe in a good place, open space. For this I love to go in the sea instead of being in the closed indoor pool. Right. This pool is amazing. I mean, it's outside, you can breathe good air and wow.
Before competition, what do you eat and drink? Do you have a bit of your prosciutto? Do you have nothing?
Fish and chips. No.
Do you hydrate, or how do you prepare your body nutritionally? And secondly, I mean, you obviously have minimal kids. Do you have Thompson?
So, first question, yes. But like I said, everybody are different. It is not the rule for everybody. For me, yes, it's super important to eat. If I don't eat, I go in blackout. And this is a learn when I did a few blackouts and I check with the glucometer and I have like 70, 1 hour before the dive. So it means that you're going blackout, no oxygen, no sugar, is done. So yes, I eat ham and bread that I brought from Italy, of course. And it's so good because it's protein and carbohydrate. I'm trying to find something that I can find everywhere, but still I have some trouble, so still I keep going with this. And for the sponsor, yes, I mean, now, fortunately, after the 104 meters dive, I start to have a few sponsors. I mean, you have to break records for having sponsor and to survive, and now it's good. I mean, I got a few of them, and it's amazing. And now the best things that you don't need to do a world record for having sponsor, but also now, like, the second, the third, the fourth in our country is getting sponsored by... So it's growing, and that's super cool.
Is there a money prize if you do a world record or not?
Of course, no.
Right. Not really?
No.
Nothing?
Nothing.
A little medal? Like
a little medal, but it's not gold.
A wooden spoon.
But that's all prizes.
Oh gosh, that's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I never did it for money. When I started, I mean, it was like the poorest sport ever.
Right.
But I mean, if you love something, it's not important the money, it's important that wow, you enjoy it so much.
Well, we are happy to announce that Sea Lanes started to sponsor now. $50 million a year. Thank you, Simon. Thank you, guys. That would be a great.
Now that we've got the Olympics.
Now we got the and everyone invited. Fantastic. Yep.
So you talked about fitness training, mental training, and breath control.
Yeah.
Your world record, how do we show those?
No, I mean, for being a world record holder, you need to be at a high level of all the skills. It's super important. The technique also is super important. But yeah, I mean, you need to do everything at the best. There is not one skill that you can avoid or do, okay, it doesn't matter, no way. Yeah, it's important to focus to everything.
And I'm doing a really long goals in Denver.
Oh!
Under at the minute, what would the feel of advice for me to push
that? Improve your technique and improve how to breathe properly in the best way, because the first thing is to breathe in the best way and to enjoy, feel the water and be beautiful.
Can Alessa, can I ask you like an Italian, that's a classic Italian thing, can you demonstrate what you mean when you say like breathe? Because to me, I don't understand what you mean when you say breathing technique. It's like a fast technique. It's like a mouse nose.
Yeah. All our lungs. Right. So before, feel our belly, and after our thorax, and the last part. This is using all our lungs. And the other techniques doesn't matter now. When you do much, much more meters, you can improve the techniques. But the first thing is to learn how to breathe properly, to use all our lungs. Generally, the woman, I breathe with this part, the man with the thorax, but we need to use all. And the lungs are a triangle, so we need to refill before the bottom and after the upper.
And you use the nose, the mouth?
The mouth, because we have a nose clip, so we need to breathe through our mouth. But when you are training at home, we also use nose technique for relaxation, for having pure hair.
It's like a long, like, or like a... Wow. I can't do that, okay. So it's like, it's through the mouth, because in my head was like the nose, using the nose to breathe, is wrong.
No, it's not wrong, but you need to do something that after you have to do in the water.
Right.
So in the water, we have nose clip. We need nose clip. Yeah, no chance.
How much time do you have to prepare before the dive? What do you breathe for how long?
I mean, we do like 45 minutes of preparation after the breakfast with stretching for our muscles, stretching for our lungs. And after that, when we arrive on the platform, on the boat, we have 1 hour to be ready to put on our wetsuit. And before the dive, 3 minutes for breathing, and that's it.
And then you're going.
So I don't think that's what I'm just forward to do, so I can feel slightly alarm fasting, like blood cell counts, so maybe like high altitude. The fact is a lot of us have been high altitude or like altitude tests to try and help the oxygen.
Wait, it will be great. I would love, I thought a lot of times, maybe 1 year I will go to do it, because I think it's super, super useful. But in the same time, I mean, the adaptation, it's not so long. I mean, you need to be like after that, going immediately to dive. So it's getting useful. But I think it's super, super great for a good preparation during the winter, yeah.
Simon, you want to have a final conclusion?
I'm just sort of amazed about the similarities between what we do, sort of swimmers here, and that love that you expressed today for the open water and all the, and the challenges. And what I find is, every time I go swimming over water, you can be in the same stretch of open water, sea, river, lake. And every day, it's a totally different experience. And we're going back, the tide, I mean, the temperature, the wildlife you interact with. And every time it's different. And that's why my observation would be that's freediving, you express that today, that love and that passion you have for it is because It's the environment that we're in, as swimmers, free divers, other water users, it's an amazing environment, and no day is the same. And that's what I'm up, and that's up to really express to them.
Yeah, I mean, it's different. It's a new experience day by day. It's amazing. And the most important, really, is to have a patient, to have something that you really love, because it's bring you whatever you want. And just really focus on your dreams, never give up, and we can do really whatever we would like.
Fantastic. So we are at the end of this conversation. I suggest maybe we can have a photo with everyone, so that is a little memory that we can have. Thanks again to Celia and Simon. Amazing. Big applause for them. Thank you all of you. Of course.